Broadcasting from the ESPN Radio studios in Tallahassee, Florida, and in partnership with the JoeBucksFan.com podcasting network, this is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast with Tom Lang.
In fact, it is coming to you from the ESPN Tallahassee studios. As the voiceover guy said, this is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, part of the JoeBucksFan.com podcasting network, and it is brought to you all season long by Bill Curry Ford. Thank you, Bill Curry Ford. How you doing, Tampa Bay? Where's your head at? The Fitzmagician? The rabbit he's pulling out of the top hat? Well, it's dead. The kids are screaming. Our goalie? He's got a broken foot. Tough times. The good news is our Bolts are still in first place in the Atlantic Division, and that's where we're going to have to fight to stay over the next 3 to 4 weeks. First topic, big topic, really the only topic worth discussing this week on the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, and that is the health of Andre Vasilevsky and where that puts us moving forward. So it came down this week that number 88, a Vezina Trophy candidate, from last season, it would appear he was on that way this year as well. An MVP candidate, in my mind, for the Tampa Bay Lightning franchise. Andre Vasilevsky has a fracture in his foot. He'll be out indefinitely / first prognosis 3 to 4 weeks. Okay, that's not a critical injury to much of anything at this moment. Perhaps to our tenuous lead in the Atlantic Division for a month. But Andre should be back in plenty of time for the back half of the season, even if he needs to take a little bit longer to get right. This isn't an injury, obviously, that happens in the month of March, where now you're worried about your playoff run. You've got plenty of time to get him back healthy. And while it's not a muscle strain or a hamstring strain, something along those lines, I hope we approach this injury with the same level of caution that you see in other sports where a hamstring, for example, is involved. Where, hey, you feel good, the doctor's cleared you, that's great, let's wait another week. There is no reason to rush Andre Vasilevsky back to the lineup for the sake of a regular season game against Winnipeg or something along those lines. Let's make sure he is 100%, has as minimal risk of re-injuring that foot as possible, and let's see what we are in the interim. The one opportunity you have here as a franchise is you get to hold a mirror up to yourself as to how good you are in the defensive zone. Tampa Bay, even when we won and went on a couple of runs in 2015 and 2016 in the playoffs, recall those Detroit series. A couple of 7-game series against the Red Wings, hard fought. And if it weren't for Ben Bishop in those two seasons, in those two first rounds of the playoffs, we wouldn't have seen Game 7, let alone won the series. So many times we were giving up breakaways or point-blank chances in the slot, two-on-ones, you name it. We gave it up. But our goalie stood tall. He was one of the best goalies in the playoffs. Without him, you go home. But you can't always count on your netminder to be an elite presence. Sometimes you got to do the helping for him. Think about Game 5 last year. Against Washington in the East Finals. That was the most transcendent performance in Andre Vasilevsky's Lightning career. One of the greatest goaltending performances for 60 minutes in Tampa Bay Lightning history. The only reason we had a chance to close out the series, Game 6, was because Andre Vasilevsky was otherworldly. So, now let's find out how responsible we are in our own zone. Do we have what it takes, like we did in the third period last night against Pittsburgh? That was an exceptional effort in the third against a team that was pretty desperate. Consider that Pittsburgh this week traded Carl Hagelin out to the West Coast because their GM Jim Rutherford said, "You guys stink. The effort is not there. And so I'm going to shake up the dressing room by trading somebody that you like to send a message that you're not getting it done." Sidney Crosby was out last night as well for the Penguins. So you knew you were going to get an angry squad. A squad that was determined to send a message back up to the front office. And you got one. But largely we stifled them in the third period on the way to a 4-3 victory. Overall for the week, There were 8 points available to the Tampa Bay Lightning since we last spoke, which was on Thursday, November the 8th. We procured 4 of them. And is it as average a week as it sounds? Yes and no. I think last night you put yourself in a precarious position for no reason and come away with 2 points that maybe you deserve, maybe you don't. And then I think on Tuesday night you certainly deserve 2 points with the puck possession time, with the amount of chances you had. Point-blank chances, hit a couple of posts in the final minute of that game, and you just a goalie steals 2 points from you in Buffalo. That's a pretty good team, Buffalo. I got to say, they're one of the surprises this year in the league. They're 10-6-2 through their first 18 games. I mean, who saw that coming? I thought they'd have a record much more like what L.A. does, which is they're 5-11-1 through 17 games. That's what the Kings have. They have 11 points. They're the worst team by far in the league. And that's what Buffalo's been, so you expect that to keep on happening. But Buffalo's playing some pretty good hockey right now. And they steal a win from me on Tuesday. Working backwards, Saturday, you get down 2-0 at the drop of a hat again to Ottawa. I'm done seeing Ottawa for a while. You storm back, take a 4-2 lead, and you can't hold it in the third period. That's a disappointing loss. That one leaves a bit of a sour taste. And then, obviously, Thursday night, that was when we spoke. It was Thursday morning of last week. You beat the Islanders, the first-place Islanders at the time, by a final of 4-2. And Andrei Vasilevsky was key in that game. So moving forward for the next month, it's all about how well can we play defense in front of Louis Domingue? Can we commit as a five-man unit to doing so? Because Louis Domingue is going to make routine saves. I do believe that. Some Lightning fans don't. But he's not going to make spectacular ones. So can we limit the amount of spectacular, high-grade chances that our opponents see? The frustrating thing about last night against Pittsburgh was in the first period of the game, I thought you come out the first 2 or 3 minutes and you're flying. The Bolts certainly knew the score. And by that, I mean the situation. Your backup goalie's in. Anton Strahlman is out of the lineup again for the third straight game. You got to come out and play a responsible game, but you got to take it to Pittsburgh. The film says that if you come at them with speed and intensity, they don't have the speed to match. This isn't 3 years ago. And that's exactly what happened. But then everything starts to unravel when Nikita Kucherov takes a penalty in the offensive zone. Now you have a string of bad moments that leads to a 2-0 deficit. Specifically, before Pittsburgh's first goal, it's Eric Chernak, the new defenseman, who I'll talk about in segment two today because I think he is overall an exciting commodity, but he's raw. Eric Chernak makes 2 poor passes in the defensive zone, forces Stamkos to take a borderline hooking call, but he's in the position to take a penalty because Chernak misses 2 easy zone exits. First power play goal, Victor Hedman has the puck behind his own net, has plenty of time to make a decision on getting the puck up the ice some way, somehow, and he has a half-hearted attempt off the boards, held in, 1-0. Not a soft goal, by the way. The Phil Kessel shot was deflected by Hornqvist, basically out of Domingue's glove, and so it's 1-0 Pittsburgh. The next penalty you take is a tough break. It's Mikhail Sergachev batting the puck out of the air just inside his own blue line, and I stress, just inside his own blue line. Kind of a freak play, and it goes into the stands. 2 minutes delay a game, and that goal goes in off of Sorelli's skate. Again, not Domingue's fault. I had to replay it a few times to see where did it carom, but it hit Anthony Sorelli's skate in the slot, and it puts it up in the upper 90. Phil Kessel gets credit for the goal, 2-0. So great. Here we go. You start out, you're flying, but the game now is at the pace, the flow, and with the momentum that's squarely in Pittsburgh's favor. Not the way you want to start a month of not having Andrei Vasilevsky. How many big saves did Louis Domingue have to make in that first period besides the 2 that he could not make? Probably about 4 or 5. Very frustrating. But then Pittsburgh says, hold my beer. Pittsburgh takes 3 consecutive penalties inside the final 2 minutes of the first period, leading to back-to-back 5-on-3s. Enter Braden Point. Number 21 scores 3 consecutive goals in the span of just under a minute 30 or just over. The 6th fastest hat trick in NHL history in terms of the 3 goals scored from first to third, and the fastest hat trick in terms of 3 goals scored consecutively in Tampa Bay Lightning history. Now you're up 3-2. Okay, let's see what we do from this position on. It's at this point that Louis Domingue lets you down. It's the first goal in his starting tenure, quote unquote, in which Louis Domingue lets up a true softie. Louis, cover the puck, Louis. Please cover the puck, Louis. I need you to cover the puck. It comes out in front of the net, and it is coming through the crease at probably 4 miles an hour. And Louis Domingue chooses to let it, I don't know why, let it squeak out to the front, and Hornquist punches it in. I'm sure he's laughing all the way to the bank. Makes absolutely no sense, but it's a lesson learned, and now it's 3-3. Thankfully, you're on a power play again not too long after, and Yanni Gourde scores on a shot from about as far away as he'll ever score a non-empty net goal in his Lightning career. A one-time blast from the top of the circle. Yes, I said the top of the circle. Goes in, you're up 4-3, and that's when you start to play defensively responsible hockey for long enough to get you a victory last night. Make no bones about it. The next month is a mirror held up to ourselves that are we good enough, 18 skaters committed to defense, are we good enough to win games without an exceptional goalie? Like a lot of games, like the amount of games you're supposed to win with the talent level that we do have. I think in a way, this might help create a discipline where there was not one. Go back to the discussion I had about Ben Bishop. I think sometimes you allow for those chances to happen because you have so much faith in your goaltender. Don't worry about it. He'll make the save type of attitude. You can't do that with Louis Domingue. You have to stay locked in and focused. And for a team that is complacent from time to time, I think this is a good mental exercise for us heading into the new year. So in sum, if Andrei Vasilevskiy needs 6 weeks, you give him every one of those days leading up to the 6 weeks. So he's 100%. And then defensively speaking, as an 18-man unit, not just the six defensemen on the ice, commit to team defense, and let's see how good we truly are within the team concept. We can win games 6-4, but how many can we win 3-1 or 4-2 with Louis Domingue in net? It should be a fun exercise. Coming up this week for the Lightning, tomorrow, as you're listening to this, the Philadelphia Flyers at 1 p.m., a little Saturday matinee. Then Monday, we travel to Nashville. P.K. Subban's on injured reserve, so we play the Predators, an 8 p.m. puck drop on Monday night. Then the day before Thanksgiving, the Florida Panthers come to town. It's Marty St. Louis night. The puck will drop around 7:40 as the Lightning honor Marty St. Louis for his Hockey Hall of Fame induction, which happened this week as well. On the other side of the break, this is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast presented by Bill Curry Ford. We'll talk about Eric Chernak and why he looks different than anything we've had on defense in quite some time, and that's a good thing. This is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast. We'll be right back.
Bill Curry Ford is the proud presenter of the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast. Come enjoy the Curry experience that has served the Tampa Bay community for 58 years. Their beautiful showroom is just north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. New general manager Sean Sullivan, he's a Lightning fan, a Bucks fan, and he has great savings for the Tampa Bay community. Just go to the Bill Curry Ford website, BillCurryFord.com, shop and find their transparent pricing on all vehicles, and then contact Sean Sullivan and tell him you want the Joe Bolts Fan, Joe Bucks Fan discount. It's that simple. You will get an additional $500 in savings, no catch, no hook, and best of all, at Bill Curry Ford, they have nationwide lifetime warranties on new vehicles and pre-owned. That's just part of buying a vehicle at Bill Curry Ford. Check it out at their website, BillCurryFord.com.
Taking you higher than a Dave Mishkin goal call. You're riding the Lightning on the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast with Tom Lang.
So prospect Eric Chernak made his debut this week for the Bolts, played two games so far in his Lightning career and his NHL career, really. Number 81, it's kind of an odd number for a defenseman. This is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast brought to you by Bill Curry Ford. And he is something that we have not seen in a Lightning uniform in a long, long time. Why? Here's a player who is 6'4", 220 pounds, who uses his body. Holla frickin' Luya, Tampa Bay. We have a defenseman in the system that uses his body, that is not hesitant to throw it around, to clear the front of the net, to challenge top flight players. Is he raw? Absolutely, he's raw. But he's got a good shot. His feet are mobile enough. Hell, he's drawing minutes with Ryan McDonagh right now, which is a good sign. Usually they stick that guy with Braden Coburn or Dan Girardi, and they play him only 9, 10 minutes a night if he gets called up in this type of situation. But he is playing against some of the top forwards in the game. Got a great test last night against Pittsburgh. And while he's making mistakes, and the game does appear to be quick to him in certain circumstances, he's not afraid. And that is such a sight for sore eyes, because we have a lot of defensemen who can skate but not hit. We have a lot of defensemen who have good shots, good defensive responsibility and positioning, but after the whistle, somebody hacks Andrei Vasilevsky, they're not going to be tough enough to clear the front of the net. Eric Chernak is all of those things. If you look, there's a sequence in the second period of Thursday's game against Pittsburgh where he is going after Evgeny Malkin for no reason. He's challenging 71's manhood. That is a 10-year vet in the sport who's been an MVP candidate, who's been a scoring champion. And Eric Chernak says, the hell with you. I'm going to slash your skates. I'm going to push you. I'm going to shove you. I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to stand tall. Malkin didn't know what to do with it. Half a shift later, he challenges 81, and the two are jawing back and forth. I said, this is beautiful. Look at this guy. It looked like Pavel Kabina against Jaromir Jagr in the 2003 first round. John Tortorella hung this picture up in his office where it's Pavel Kabina. His stick is across his knees. He's hunched over, and he's got a grin. It's like this evil snarl with a weird look in his eyes. He's smiling at Jaromir Jagr, who was bloodied on the ice. It's his fellow countryman. It was a big opportunity for Pavel Kabina to go against a legend in his own country in a playoff series, and he made it his mission to make a statement of toughness, a statement of dominance against a preeminent player, a future Hall of Famer, the third highest scorer in the history of the game. And Tortorella thought, this is such a beautiful picture of what I want our team to have, which is that fire and that grit to go along with the skill, that I'm going to hang it at my office. This is an example to anybody who sits across from me as I excoriate them, which is what John Tortorella does to everyone, to the point that they hate him. But the point remains, Eric Chernak, while a raw commodity and maybe not somebody you want to trust with big minutes in the playoffs just yet, has the makings to be somebody that we really appreciate in Tampa. For all the moments that we watch Boston or we watch some of the teams out west like Anaheim or LA over the years, and you see them bully others around the ice after the whistle, they own those sequences. And you see the toll it takes over a 7-game series. We don't have that. We've hardly had that. Brian Boyle was that type of player. We loved him for it. Cedric Paquette can be that type of player, but he's not disciplined enough, and he's too small to really, guys kind of laugh at him. Ryan Callahan can be, but he's always hurt. We yearn for a player like that. Victor Hedman is a really, really good defenseman. But if there's one thing lacking in his game, it's the snarl. It's that post-whistle evil. Eric Chernak has that. It's just in his DNA as a player. And he was a throw-in. Remind you, he was a throw-in in the Ben Bishop trade. When we sent Ben out to L.A. a couple of years ago at the deadline, knowing that the expansion draft was coming, we couldn't keep both he and Andrei Vasilevsky, and we were going to go with the cheaper and younger player, and better player for the record, in Andre. We sent him out west to L.A., and Chernak came back to Tampa in our system. It was part of Steve Yzerman's reloading of the defensive core. We really didn't have anybody in the pipeline that we were comfortable calling up in the near term. We were signing guys left and right. We were trading for somebody like a Braden Coburn. Dan Girardi was an option on the free agent market. Ryan McDonagh last year. But now we have reloaded. Cal Foote is going to be one of those players. Mikhail Sergachev, through trade, we got him. Slater Cuckoo, he's never going to play. Love him, but he's there. And now Chernak, who by all accounts had a really good camp and was playing well in Syracuse. He is something that is unlike the others. And I'm really excited to continue to watch him. Now, I did say in the first segment, the first goal is because Chernak can't make two simple passes in the defensive zone, forces Steven Stamkos to take a penalty, a hooking penalty in front of the net. That's his fault. He's going to make mistakes like that. So grow along with him. There's an old adage. I know Bolt Prospects on Twitter uses this a lot. An NHL defenseman isn't truly an NHL defenseman until he's played about 200 games. 198 to go for Eric Chernak. But so far, so good. You can't teach guys to be nasty. You can teach them to be more physical, but you can't teach them to have that nasty edge to them. We got one who does, and I'm really excited to watch as he continues to develop. One more thought on Louis Domingue before we go for the week. So that's your starting goalie for the next month. And for me, this is what I do when I grade a backup who has to play weeks on end. I say with Andrei Vasilevsky, to watch and appreciate his game, take your eyes off the puck, watch 88 push from post to post, see how square he is and how quickly he can square to the shooter as passes go around the zone. Best example is when there's sustained zone pressure or we're on the penalty kill, because you can really get a sense of how he's following the puck. And does he anticipate the puck? It's almost like a great quarterback. Does he anticipate where the puck is going to go? That's what Andre's at his best. For Louis Domingue, it's a lot simpler. How many crappy goals does he give up? How many times do you shake your head and say, oh, geez, we really miss Andrei Vasilevsky? The fewer times that happens, the more games we're going to win. As long as Louis Domingue makes the saves he's supposed to, I'm happy. If he makes an otherworldly save, but he gives up two softies, that's not good. I'd rather him take and square up to the shots he can stop instead of trying to play hero hockey. Stay within himself. The job is now on us. The onus is now on us as 18 to play team defense, to get the puck out of our zone, and when it is in our zone, to throw our bodies in the way. You got to pick your teammate up. Last night against Pittsburgh, out of the three goals, one is on him. One is soft. Really soft. The other two, no chancers. Another way you can stop that from happening, don't take stupid penalties, which we did last night. Thankfully, Pittsburgh was more stupid than we were. So let's see what happens moving forward. 3 to 4 weeks is the initial prognosis for Vasilevsky. The Bolts hold on to a one-point lead over Toronto in the Atlantic Division as we head into Thanksgiving week. And with that, I will be back next Friday, November the 23rd, go home to the Tampa Bay area for a little bit of Thanksgiving dinner, but then I'm back here early, first thing Friday morning, as the Noles host the Florida Gators. Can't wait to watch that football game. Should be freaking awesome. But we'll be talking to you regular time next week and previewing the Chicago Blackhawks, who are coming to town. And spoiler alert, Chicago's not very good. This has been the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, part of the JoeBucksFan.com podcasting network. I thank you for listening, and always I thank Bill Curry Ford for sponsoring the program all season long. We'll talk to you next week.